This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturists. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you do happen to be a Patreon supporter at any level, you can watch us record this live every Saturday morning. That's any tier, Josh.
Any tier.
Wow. But if you want to show the love of pop culture on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like this, or my newly arrived phone case, which is this.
Do they come in the S9?
Yeah, they come in whatever you want.
Sweet.
They don't have the little, because you know yours has a little
pocket.
Little pocket. Little lid.
My Mikey and my bank card in there.
Oh, nice. See, this one has no lid, but it's got four players on it, and that kind of helps.
Yeah. And
if you want to support us somewhere else, you can head over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can subscribe and like and donate and give them sweet, sweet bitties. All the things you want to do. Hey, man.
Hey.
How's the things?
I'm depressed.
Oh, no.
From our little event we had last night, the launch event for Creative Geelong and Genu and all that stuff. I don't know the official title of it. I was just there.
Yeah, so Creative Geelong, which is the place that we have a new studio set up for an unannounced project. And I also work there with my job at Genu. They were having the launch of their Digital Innovation Festival, which they're opening their new multimedia studio.
There's a little game dev studio there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and they were showing up. They wanted to show off our set as well as the Genu site. It was sort of a big
Come see what we're doing,
yeah.
But yeah, so with our set, we had, you know, a video running of, you know, who we are and all our old, you know, cuts together of all our old stuff. Oh, so much skinnier back then. Not that I'm big now, but I'm bigger than I was.
Yeah.
It's about 10 kilos difference.
I'm actually about the same.
Yeah, I haven't weighed myself because I don't want to. So yeah, about 10 kilo difference. So I had a bit of an existential crisis last night going home. I'm like driving past Max and like, oh, quarter pounder. No, don't. Went home and had a banana.
So no, I went home and cried.
Yeah. Cried, I jerked it. We're all sweet.
No, I don't feel so bad.
Losing me out a teaspoon of weight at a time. See, so yeah, I need to change that up a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
And also, I'm so easily exhausted and out of breath. Obviously, smoking is a given to that. But you know, I do a pretty physical job too, up and down ladders and all stuff. And the sort of like getting up the ladder and being like, like it shouldn't be fucking hard. It's like 8 rungs. It's not. Shouldn't be a thing.
Like, you know, I understand not the ladder climbing because I don't do ladders, but you know, like when I worked at my old job, which was an office job where I just sat around all day on the fucking head without talking to people, like I gained a ton of weight there because I used to
said board eating as well.
Yeah, board eating, just, you know. And then when before that job, we were at Dan's and we used to just lift shit and walk around all day.
That's why I managed to eat whatever the fuck I want and stay at about the same weight because it was a very physical job.
Well, my new job has me moving around a lot. There is not a lot of sitting down. Like, there's, although I'm playing games and stuff, I don't actually, I'm not the one playing the games. I don't normally sit down all that
much. You're on
your
feet.
I'm on my feet.
Yeah.
Moving around a lot. So
there is a gym around the corner from me.
Paris has mentioned the same thing. He's like, we should probably do that because he used to do a lot of it. But
yeah, and when I did go to the gym, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago now, I'd never felt better in my life. Like, even, just like leaving the gym, you're like, I feel really good about myself now. But then it's like, you got to sign up, and then you actually have to go. And then there's like other people there, and they don't give a fuck what you're doing, but you feel like they give a fuck what you're doing.
Because
the gym I used to go to was fantastic. I used to go to Jets down in Belmont. And everyone just did their own thing. There was no, you know, you see like on all the social media, like, look at this dumb fat guy trying to do the thing.
But you aren't a dumb fat guy.
He's there at the gym. Yeah. That's fucking awesome. You know, no one ever did any of that. Such a really nice and friendly. And I'm sure most of them are. Yeah. It's just a matter of just walking through the door, talking to a trainer, getting a plan, and then just fucking doing it.
Well, as we were talking about before we start, started recording, about you maybe moving over this way.
Mm.
If you do move over this way, and we do, Paris does want to do gymming, and I'm down to, because like he's my carpool, so if he's like, I'm going to the gym, I'm like, yeah, I suppose.
Oh, I have to.
Yeah.
I'll and sit then in the car could, and eat yeah. ice cream.
And then poop. like we could, yeah, we could all do some three-way gymming.
There's plenty around. But the one.
I think there's one in the next estate.
Well, the one that's near me is literally at the shopping centre I go to for my shopping.
Yeah.
So it's convenient. Just a matter of taking that step.
Yeah.
Just get through the door and just do it.
Because I've never been, and my fitness is horrendous. Like, yeah, I'd have to start at like, all right, can you walk over there?
All right, let's see where you're at. And it's negative 10.
And you're dead. Like, technically, you should be dead.
I am.
So
yeah, things need to change. Things need to change. Need a bit true. Of a
like we're getting old these days. We're pretty old.
Mm.
You know, we go, our body doesn't respond as well as it used to. We need to fix that.
Yeah.
But regardless, what have you been sitting down and playing?
I've been sitting down a lot this week. I think is it the Days of Play sale happening at the moment? Some kind of sale.
I don't think it's called the Days of Play. Days of Play was earlier in the year. Then there was the winter sale.
There's some kind of sale happening right now, and I managed to pick up Metro 2033 and Last Light Redux twin pack for $12.
Yeah, I picked up as well after your recommendation.
Insane
yeah.
price. And Metro 2033 came out in 2010. But I feel like it was ahead of its time in a lot of ways, and the Redux version is like, you know, remastered, not fully remastered, just upscaled, looks a bit better on current tech and all that kind of stuff. Man, the game is good.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. Scary.
Ooh.
But not like
like psychological scary.
Yeah. One point that stands out to me is I was just the whole premise is that the Earth is irradiated from a nuclear war, so.
Mm-hmm.
What's remaining of civilization lives in the metro, the subway tunnels underground. This is in Russia, because that's where the game was developed. And yeah, so with the nukes obviously came some mutants and all that kind of stuff, but there's also warring factions like Nazis and the Reds and all that as well. And it's just, it's very isolated and a lot, like you're traveling through these dark metro tunnels, you know, by yourself. And the atmosphere is really good. But it just does things to really mess with your head where, like, I was running along, I ran past a light which cast my shadow on the wall, and there was five other shadows next to me of you know, creatures. And I'm like, what the fuck? I turn and there's nothing there. And then you look back and the shadows are gone. And it's all little things like that that just kind of adds up, adds to the intensity of just...
environmental tension.
Yeah. And... yeah, just like it got to the point where I said the other night that I really, really like this game, but I don't think I can finish it. I'm pretty close to the end.
Playing with headphones?
Yeah.
Does it make you even scarier?
Yeah.
It's a good sound, like.
Yeah, yeah. Good ambience and good 3D. What's it? 360?
Yeah, like sound. 3D space, yeah.
Yeah, it's just. It's very much a product of its time, like. You know, the dialogue's a little stiff because it's based off a book by Dmitry Gavosky or something like that.
Sounds Russian.
And yeah, so it's a, you know, the voice acting is not fantastic, but the story is interesting. The story is good.
Yeah.
The atmosphere sets up a really, really good and tense session. And then there are times where you do have to go to the surface, so you have to wear a gas mask. But if you get into a fight with your gas mask, you can get damaged, where you have to quickly try to scavenge a new one because it does have survival elements. Not health and stamina and water and all that, but in the way that you get filters for your gas mask that have a timer. So if you're on the surface and you've only got 10 minutes on your timer, you need to finish that level before your timer's out or you're fucked. Or scavenge if you can find on dead bodies other filters. You don't get a fuckload of ammo. It's an FPS, but it's not present. You can't really run and gun. You have to be stealthy, get stealth kills, and really think about your ammo count. Because... whenever I get into a big firefight, I'm always looking at my ammo going, fuck, I'm getting really low. And it always seems to work out that when that fight's done, I've got like a clip left. And it's like, fuck, that was so... And that adds to the tenseness of it. It's like, well, I'm getting low on ammo now. I've got to try to quickly figure out how can I save it? Can I stealth kill that guy? Can I, you know, get him with a grenade or whatever? Very cool. It's very. There's seven chapters. I'm in chapter five now, so I'm close enough to the end. I'm just gonna see it through.
Yeah, because it sort of caught my interest with the last trailer that they released for,
yeah, for Exodus.
Exodus.
Yeah, and that me awesome. Too. I mean, I had Metro on Steam many years ago, but I only played for maybe 45 minutes, and I was like, eh, it just wasn't. I don't think it gave me the time. But yeah, Exodus looks really good, and I thought, I want to play it, but I need to do the other two. And then it was $12 for the both of them remastered. So.
an easy win.
It's an easy win. It wasn't even an arm and arse. Like, yeah, I'll do that. yeah, but you do have to kind of get in the mindset for it. Mm. It's not like you can't treat it like a run and gun game, because it's not. You got to take your time.
And with the age of it, you're going to have to be aware of some of the shortcomings. Like, yeah. You know, first-person shooters have changed in the last decade. So.
The gunplay is good. It's not fantastic. Mm. It's not, you know, modern COD levels of tightness or Destiny, but it's not shit. You aim, you shoot, and it shoots where you're aiming.
Yeah.
But all the guns are kind of cobbled together. You can customize them in some ways and all that. Even your grenades are like just pipes filled with shrapnel. Like, it's you do get that very, like, making the best with what you've got kind of feeling with it.
Like that real sort of Fallout, for lack of a word, vibe.
And your currency is bullets as well. Money's got no use in this society anymore. So ammo.
So then you've also got to balance that, whether you spend the ammo on
so
that,
it's,
whatever.
It's military grade ammo, which is different from what you put in your guns, but you can put that in your guns and they're more powerful bullets. So if you're like, fuck, I really need, you can go,
risk reward.
I'm going to spend my money by using it as ammunition in the gun.
Really clever.
So it's really kind of a balancing act. But there's two different modes you can play. Survival, which is the original mode, and then Spartan mode, which it says it's a more run-and-gun play style, which is what I'm playing on. But it's still not quite. You still need to be very smart and think about what you're doing and kind of juggle your ammo counts and all that. It's very, very good. Very, very good.
Rad.
Yeah, but don't go in there expecting some, whoa! It's really...
Oh.
That's all I've been playing.
Well, you've tickled my interest enough to, you convinced me enough to buy it a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I haven't jumped into it yet, but I did pick it up.
Took about probably a good hour and a half. I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And then once it's like, because you're normally with someone when you're in the tunnels, but then if something happens to them, they're like, all right, now you go do this next bit. You go, fuck, like, I don't want to do this. Like, I can't do this by myself. It really gets in your head.
Yeah, excellent. I played a couple games this week, actually. The first one I did was after last week's recording, which was the Saturday. So on the Sunday, I spent majority of the day playing Rise of the Tomb Raider. Mm. So I cleared that out, got the credits. So credits number 13 for the year. that game, like, the gameplay is good, like, real good. Like, but the story is just anus.
How so? Like, how? Why?
Like, as in...
in a generic way.
Well, no, there are some ideas there. They're a little bit pretty cool. Fuck, you know, it's difficult to explain, but like playing it, you can't help but think of Uncharted. You can't help but feel for Uncharted, right? And this game is
not Uncharted.
Like, you don't care. I found myself not caring for Lara.
Ooh.
Not caring for whoever her fucking friend is, Juno, whatever the fuck his name was.
Like, you mean that girl that Michael Cera knocked up? When
I think she's in it. It was really cool. The villain is, you know, and like there's a woman in there that's apparently like a friend of the family and who portrays them, whatever. Like, I played the original remake like on PC like 5 years ago. And like, none of the characters I connect with. I don't care for any of them. Mm. Like, with Uncharted, the characters are so compelling, you actually give a shit about the story and where it's going and moving forward. Where with Lara, like with Tomb Raider, I felt nothing.
Mm.
Like, if she got double crossed or that woman's like, ooh, I'm like, okay. And like, when you have to go and save Juno, whatever his fucking name is, so I punch the microphone. You guys are like, oh, I've got to go save Juno. I've got to go. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm gonna enjoy getting there because the gameplay.
It does say something
tight.
That the gameplay is enough to make up for that, though.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's enough to make up for it. No. I was only playing it because with Shadow of the Tomb Raider coming out, I kind of want that to be better.
Mm.
So for me, it was more of a let's give this a go, and that's. So when I do dive into it this month, that I've got something to pull back from. Because as I mentioned last week, as I told my my infamous Rise of the Tomb Raider story about my wife being pregnant, and that was the last game I played before my son was born.
What a way to go out.
Yeah, I regret that decision. But yeah, so it was nice to sort of finish that off just ahead of your second birthday, oddly enough. But yeah, like the gameplay is all right. I love the... What they've done here is kind of in the same... What happened?
Got a knot in my beard.
Ooh, not those beard knots. Ooh, I heard that crack.
Yep.
What they did in the Lost Legacy, you know, those little open world parts, that this... Rise of Tomb Raider does a bit of that. So rather than just one linear big story, there are little hub worlds that you kind of go off and you come back to. You go off, you come back to it. That does make the game feel more open, but once you start returning to it a couple of times, you do sort of get that, oh yeah, I've been here. Oh yeah, I've been here. And you start to realize the game isn't as big as it looks to be, which is a downside. Yeah. It's hard to explain because it's hard to explain only in the same vein of, yeah, the gameplay's tight, story's balls.
So you give it an average.
Yeah, I would give it a straight up average. Like I,
it's a game.
Yeah, it was a game. I didn't hate it when I finished. I was like,
okay. If we rated 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd probably give it something like that, something right down the middle. Like I really enjoyed my time with it, but I wasn't, enamoured with it. Like
it ticked all the boxes to be classed as a game.
Yeah, correct. With some slight enjoyment in there. Then the other game that I played on Wednesday was Donut County.
That's the one where the holes.
Yeah, so this the game was first shown off at PSX last year. Had this lovely little charming trailer of one raccoon being talking about the game and being a bit sassy, like, "Does it have a platinum trophy?"
Very the Muppet.
Very self-aware bullshit. It was good. So the basic premise of the game is you are a raccoon. I love saying that with dumb. You're a raccoon. Named BK, and you have an app on your phone, and you work at a donut shop. So the idea is when anyone buys a donut through the app, you control the app, and they don't get the donut, they get the donut hole, and that's the hole, and that's the bit that you use to, like, suck the fucking world in.
Right.
So you only suck the world in around people that have ordered a donut. So it's a dumb storyline to it. Like, the storyline is silly, it's kind of charming and it's dumb.
Nonsensical.
It's nonsensical and it's funny. Like, there's some good sass going on in there and I laugh a lot. Like the raccoon as an example, he refuses to acknowledge that he's fucked everything up with this whole game. He's like, yeah, like, you know, it's just very Dylan. Yeah, he's like, you fucked up. He's like, well, I didn't really. Technically, but blah, 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 blah. So I did get a couple giggles out of that.
Is there only one way to beat it, though? Like, is it...
Yeah.
You have to go to this, and then that one, and then that one. Like, there's no...
Yeah, it's a linear story in that sense. It is only about two... We finished it in about 2 hours, and then we did the last half hour just trophy collecting to get the platinum, which was... That's my third platinum for the year. Well, my third platinum ever, my 14th credit for the year. The gameplay is... It's only because I've dominated over last year. Because the gameplay is so simple, it's quite fun and charming, and it's good. It's a little bit silly. It starts off relatively similar. It's just put things in holes. And then later on, a little bit more puzzles come out of it. Like, not like brain-breaking puzzles. You get over them. You can get through them pretty quickly. But it does make you kind of go, a second. And it was simple enough for, like, James, as he does, kick the fucking door in. Da-da! Like, hey, bud. So he came in, he sat with me. And because it was so simple mechanically, like, I didn't have to really give it my full focus. So I was able to sit with him and play the game. And he was talking and he was watching. It was funny because anytime anything would fall in the hole, he'd be like, oh, no. Oh, no. That's all right, man. The house is falling in the hole. It's all good.
Your turn.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The soundtrack is great. Yeah. Like, the music in it is really, really good. I like it a lot. I swear Ryan needs to get a lavalier microphone so when he looks at the other screen, his volume doesn't drop. Thanks, Damo. So Damo is one of the Patreon supporters watching. Because I
need to stop looking at the other screen.
That's true. That's why.
Maybe we need the desk.
We need the desk.
That wouldn't help you at all, though, because you'll be facing more this way anyway.
Yeah, when you get wheels for these, if I do this and then the microphone comes with me. I just need to learn to pivot myself. The problem is I have a horrible side profile, so like I can't. That's not nice on this bit because like
self-conscious about.
Yeah, no. Like speaking of like me and being super overweight and like being shit. So like from the front, I don't look as fat. I have this weird illusion, right? Like I'm still a fat dude, but like looking like, oh okay, and then dude, everyone's like, what the fuck? Because I carry my weight all in my front and my front and center. Yeah. So like onwards, it just kind of protrudes forward.
Yeah.
So it doesn't like fall back to the sides. So I'm very misleading from front. But yeah, so donut counting. I'm also losing my voice.
Speaking of donuts.
Yeah, speaking of donuts.
Speaking of being fat and donuts.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great. The game is incredibly simple. Like I spent about, I think it was like $15, whatever. I don't regret the money. I'm not stoked. I got me a platinum, which was fine. Got me some credits. It caught my interest enough to dive in and give it a go. Mm-hmm. It was all right. It was fine. I enjoyed my time with it, though.
So you played two fine games.
I played two sufficient games. All because I'm killing time until we get like the big exclusive, which is the Spooderman, mm-hmm. Which I know some people have it, and I know a lot of people that don't, surprisingly. Mm.
Colin doesn't have it.
He doesn't. From, I listened to that last night. Mm. Looks like traditional media is getting it first. Now, I think a lot of this comes down to, similar to what Colin says in his show, like, we're not entitled to anything, so in no way am I, like, you know, expecting
Where's
us to have it.
Code?
But it's more of a, I think it comes from a different place. I think this is a very spoiler-heavy embargo. Because especially with that collector's edition, having the big old statue in it that's straight-up spoilers, they don't want that getting out.
Yeah,
and like traditional media, 99% of the time are a lot more trustworthy than influencers and YouTubers.
I mean, you couldn't get much more trustworthy than Colin Moriarty, though.
Yes, true. But I guess once again, if he's characterized as an influencer, not on traditional media, like that's external to that. you know what I mean? Like
whatever we get.
YouTubers leak shit all the time because they want them clicks.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, Green Goblin. Where, like, you're not going to see that, at least initially, on IGN. Mm. Anyway, speaking of IGN, and they are a news outlet, and bad transition to the news. Where we tell you what things happened in the PlayStation world this week in a section we call Inform the Players. I think my son just woke up.
Hang on, I'm just yawning. All right. Ugh. Number one, Yacht Club Games has plenty more Shovel Knight content to come. And the developer is now finally ready to share when King of Cards Showdown and more are coming. IGN exclusively revealed that Shovel Knight King of Cards, the third and final story-based expansion, will be released on April 9th, 2019. Shovel Knight Showdown, the game's new multiplayer battle mode, will also be released on April 9th. Both to be released expansions are debuting the same day because Yacht Club has also announced a physical version of Shovel Knight Treasure Trove, the complete collection of Shovel Knight and all of its expansions, which will see a physical release date on April 9th. For PS4 and the Switch. The complete Treasure Trove collection will cost $40 US. However, you can still buy it digitally for $25 and you'll still receive the upcoming content at no extra charge. King of Cards Showdown will be available separately. So, when they did the Kickstarter, they also promised three standalone expansions for it. So, they've done Plague of Shadows and Spectre Knights one, I forget what it's called. And then King of Cards is the last one. Now, it's funny because reading Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, but after that, like now, they are so sick of Shovel Knight.
You imagine that would
and
be, right?
They're at the point where it's like, we're doing it because we're obligated. We have to, and we want to honour that, of course. And, you know, good on them, they are. But they are ready to move on to something else. But Showdown looks pretty cool. It's like a Smash Brothers-esque, you know, you've got 16 different knights from throughout the game to like battle each other and collect gems and stuff like that.
Having them be sold separately makes sense because with Shovel Knight, you know, a lot of their money influx came from the Kickstarter. Mm. And like obviously there's been sales since, but like the big hunk of their money came at the start and they've been working relatively consistently for almost nothing because all these DLCs are free.
Yeah.
No, so I think this might be the last throw with Shovel Knight to get a bit more influx of cash in so they can do something new.
But I mean, it's still selling fucking well. Treasure Trove is in the Switch eShop, you know, top charts.
Yeah, like I'm not saying that it's not doing well. Like for them, this would be, you know, the potential that they could have earned from doing it as paid DLC would have been staggeringly higher.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have got the good PR.
But it's weird to see about the physical edition being, you know, Treasure Trove because I have that.
Mm.
Like my physical edition that I bought from EB Games in 2 years ago, got me Treasure Trove.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is that edition will come with all of it on disc. Yeah, so there's no DLC yeah, downloads.
Yeah. But I'm also, as cool as that is, I'm also excited to see what Yacht Club can do next, because they sound like a great studio that cares.
They do rad things.
Number two, some gamers who were looking forward to Spider-Man's release next week are claiming Insomniac...
Well, this week, actually.
This week at time of when the show comes out. Are claiming Insomniac Games has downgraded Spider-Man's visuals, leading to smaller puddles and several other perceived problems. A Reddit post on Thursday morning from Ghulam Jewel compares Spider-Man E3 and release screenshots. Redditors are arguing... No news there. Over whether or not textures look worse in the release version, but one thing everyone agrees on is what was once a giant puddle, Ryan, is now a smaller puddle. Fuck me, dude. Twitter complaints have been coming in for more than a week now, with some of the earliest ones calling it a downgrade and hypothesizing that the puddles were scaled back to save resources and keep the frame rate steady. Insomniac ruled out both. Quote, it's just a change in the puddle size, there's no downgrade at all, responded the studio's Twitter account. Continuing, Insomniac added that Spider-Man still has plenty of other places with tons of puddles. Sass. Fucking love it. Now,
what a non-drama.
Now, one, I don't give a shit. And two, if anything, reading Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, they didn't, like, when it came time to put something up, they're like, this is what we
envision it to be.
It might not be that. And I think it should be taken for granted, what should be taken from anything you see at E3 is that the game probably won't look like that. They have to put something together, what they envision that it's going to be like in a year and a half, 2 years when the game finally comes out. And it might not be that. They might not be able to tick that box. And that's okay.
Yeah, because at that time, like, granted, that is a vertical slice. So the whole idea of that is to make it as look as good as possible, which is fine. And then on top of that, when they released it, they had 8 things on their list that they want that game to have. As they moved on further, that list may have become 10 things, 12 things. So, like, well, we have to scale back some of the other things, or we may have to alter the original vision slightly. it's the internet. The internet fucking sucks.
Yeah, fucking drives.
Especially you guys. You guys are great.
Yeah. You said especially you guys.
Except you guys.
Except for you guys.
But especially you, Damo, you bastard.
It's just such a non-issue, and people just care too much about the graphics.
No, it's the thing is...
It's the perceived slight. Like, you've slighted me by needing to downgrade from what you showed us 2 years ago.
But what I love is a lot of... It's like the internet has shown... Like, some people have responded with, like, hey, look at this picture of this Big Mac. Look at the Big Mac I just bought. Look like trash. You know what I mean? Like, why are they the only one that's sort of slighted? It's just dumb. It's just the internet being stupid. It's because there's no major releases out right now. They're just jumping on something and...
It's going to come out. It's going to get 9s and 10s. And
guarantee you'll get 9s and 10s.
This will be forgotten about.
Yeah.
Like that. Except for the select few who just like to be petty.
Remember The Witcher?
The Witcher.
Well, isn't like, before that game dropped, people did exactly that. They bitched and whinged about how this game looked. And then granted, it was a little bit less, but then they patched it. They patched it and made it better.
Yeah. But then look at what the game is as well. You know, The Witcher is such a highly acclaimed game now.
Yeah. And like, that's one of the things people forget, that there was that backlash from the cesspools of the internet. You know, and this is an absolute non-issue. The size of a fucking puddle does not affect the gameplay. It's barely anything. When you're swinging around a Spider-Man, you're not even gonna pay attention.
Now, if you play the game and the streets of New York are empty, there's a problem.
Like, there is footage of, you know, you swinging between the buildings and the streets are loaded with people. If there's less people, then that's a concern. Yeah. But we don't know
good
yet.
Good point from the chat there. Did no one learn after Watch Dogs? Never take E3 as gospel, people.
That's true, because Ubisoft, that was Damo. So Ubisoft is the master of the bullshot. You know, the sort of the fake over-amp scripture.
I feel like there are some companies that you're like, yeah, fuck you for doing that. Like, Ubisoft has done time and time again. But then there are some where it's what happens in development and you can't help it. And I feel like that's with, like, Insomniac don't deserve any hate at all. They're a fantastic studio who've done really no wrong. And if they had to, like, even if they were like, yeah, look, what we pitched, we do need to scale it back a little bit because we're further in development and we've realized we do need those extra resources. Cool, just do it.
Do not, like, don't get me wrong. Every motherfucker that is complaining right now will still buy it.
Oh, sure.
Like people, and they're like, well, I've cancelled my pre-order. Blah, 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 blah.
No,
cool.
Don't.
You've cancelled your pre-order. You're going to buy it day one.
Yeah.
Like, or you didn't and you're a liar because the internet is full of liars.
Hi.
Hi. You know, I mean, like, there is...
It's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue.
I felt like it was because it's PlayStation.
It's totally related, worth so. Recommend. It's totally worth mentioning and recommending. I recommend you go and get on some fucking internet hate.
Number three, Battlefield 5 has a new release date, November 20. Developer DICE issued a statement on publisher EA's website explaining the team's reasoning behind the delay. The team wants to focus on making, quote, some final adjustments to the core gameplay, adding that, quote, we're going to take our time and make sure we get it. Right. The statement also notes that the team wants to ensure its Tides of War live service, which DICE describes as, quote, a journey across multiple theatres of World War II and designed to keep our community together, in the new statement, is up to par when Battlefield 5 launches. I call bullshit for two reasons.
Why?
It's avoiding COD and Red Dead. That's pretty obvious in my book. And I don't believe that what he's saying they want to do, they can accomplish in another 3.5 weeks.
Yeah,
it's just a statement to be like, because we can't release around COD and Red Dead.
Well,
which they've had so much time to really kind of look at it and go, is this a wise move?
But at the same point, we don't, once again, reading Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. Mm. It's very likely they knew they were going to delay it 2 months ago.
Mm.
But they would just keep that shit tight.
Yeah, could have been too.
And like they've been like, we're going to have to extend it. We're going to work on it. And a couple, you know, as close to we can as potential release date, push it back.
People
are more likely to respond to, hey, it's 3 weeks from the release date, close to the release date.
Yeah. It's probably both, really. This is just me hypothesizing. They're like, we don't want to release around COD and Red Dead. Let's push it back 3 or 4 weeks. And we will take that time to do some tweaking and stuff.
Yeah.
We may as well do something with it while we've...
Well, seeing is that there is like some backlash towards it for some fucking reason.
Because girls are in it.
Yeah. Which is unnecessary. Like, not the reaction of the girls.
It's unnecessary having girls.
No. Who gives a fuck? Like, if, you know, it doesn't matter.
No.
Like, the gendery thing, it don't matter. It's a fucking game. And it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun anyway. So this gives them a couple of weeks to really polish that and try to remove some of the other potential issues that it'll have, or maybe sharpen up that battle royale mode. You know what I'm saying?
And avoid
the other big hitters.
I did read somewhere else that the battle royale mode will also be free, which I would assume it would have been with the game anyway.
Maybe it's coming up a little bit after.
I don't, because it's not releasing with the game, it's coming later. But I did read somewhere that they were going to put it as a free update and not a paid DLC too. So.
Before we jump into the next bit of news, which you said if you've been around the gaming, you probably know what it is. Last week, during a Madden tournament, a piece of shit decided to shoot a bunch of people.
And then himself, thankfully,
because fuck him. You know, as with, it seems so kind of bullshit and tacked on to do this, but only because everyone has that say. You know, we're in the same. Like, I can assume I'm speaking for you that you know, our condolences to anyone involved in that shit. Like,
to a convention and play games and not have to worry about getting shot in the back.
Yeah, well, luckily in Australia, like we come from a place of luxury in Australia where we don't have to worry about that, or a place of fucking sanity.
You're opening up a can of worms there, man.
No, we are. We don't.
I know we say that, but then there's many political arguments that will come from.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about that concern as much. Our hearts go out because, you know, because like gaming, although it can be quite a violent medium. We don't need that shit in the day-to-day.
Now, it was a Madden tournament.
It was a Madden tournament, of all things,
as well. Not that it makes any difference.
No.
But, you know, you see media latching onto, you know, they played COD and like, they taught them how to shoot and all that kind of stuff.
If you said when this drops on Monday, 60 Minutes yesterday had a big old expose on Fortnite and how it's ruining children. No, it's called bad parenting, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, anyway, I got a follow-up to that from EA. EA has announced that it is establishing the Jacksonville Tribute, a fundraising initiative to support the victims of Sunday shooting at a Madden tournament event in Jacksonville, Florida. Making the announcement on Twitter, EA pledged to kickstart the fund with a donation of $1 million and will be opening up the initiative to allow members of the public to contribute. All proceeds from the fund will go towards supporting the victims of the attack, as well as the families of Taylor Robinson and Elijah Clayton, who both lost their lives. EA has also scheduled a live stream in support of the Jacksonville Tribute next Thursday, September 6th, and I think it'll be Friday down here in Australia, vowing to bring the community together through uniting in play. EA has promised more details on both the fundraising initiative and the live stream very soon.
Nice work, EA. Nice
I got work. Into a big Reddit fight last night. Because there's two gaming subreddits. I mean, there's heaps. But there's r/games and r/gaming. Games is where you go to have your discussions and your, you know, let's talk about the news. And gaming is just meme fest. And there was the meme, you know the meme of like two guys like holding hands and it's like console players, PC players.
Oh, arm wrestling. Yeah.
Fuck EA.
Yeah.
You know that? And I said, is it really in like why did you choose to post this now when they've just, you know, done this and all that? And it just went on and on. It's like, you know, you can't give them a pass because they're a shit, they are a shit company, and just because they do one good thing doesn't mean that they're good now. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's in bad taste to do, like, why do this now? Because this is good. This is good. This is a great thing for EA too. And then another argument was, well, it's just all of our microtransactions paying for the donation. Have you ever heard of a tax write-off? I'm like, fuck me. The more I'm on social media with gamers, the more I just fucking hate them.
Yeah, no, like, this is the exact reason I refuse to ever use Reddit. Like, granted, Twitter and fucking Facebook is horrible as it is.
Though. Reddit is fan-fucking-tastic. If you know what subs to not go to.
Well, because all I ever hear about, yeah, is the shitty people of Reddit. I'm sure there's fantastic people of Reddit.
Like, and I said, if you go to Reddit/games, you'll have a great time there. Everyone's nice and cordial. It is heavily moderated and good discussions. But our gaming is just like a fuckfest of just shit.
Yeah, because it's the same thread that's like, hey, anyone else remember this game? It's Siphon Filter. Everyone fucking remembers Siphon Filter. Yeah.
I can't be the only one that remembers this gem. Well, you're not. Because...
it's fucking Siphon Filter.
Yeah, you're not. but this is like, EA didn't have to do this, obviously. And, you know, and people are, they're only doing it for good PR. They're still pieces of shit. And it's like, they're doing it. Like, it doesn't matter, like, their reasoning. They're still doing it.
Like, if they didn't do anything, you would have the same vitriol. Yeah. Like, they have done the best thing they could have done out of it. And look, they don't have to. Like, in no way, like, do we forgive EA for the other garbage that they've done, but there's a big difference between forgiving and forgetting.
Yeah. Like, my final point in that Reddit thread was like, yes, they're a shit company, but fuck me if I can't give them a nod when they do something good.
Yeah, because it's one of those things. If you refuse to acknowledge someone doing good, like it, regardless of their path, if you refuse to acknowledge good when it happens, why would they even bother doing good again?
You're just cherry picking for the sake of a meme.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Damo did jump in as well, and he said the main issue with the killer is he was mentally unstable, not that he was a gamer. And that is certainly a true thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I myself now work in mental health. Like, it's, you know, it's very important for these things to exist. And, you know, as in like mental health services to help people that truly need it.
But that's a whole...
that's a big different discussion. Not. I don't think we have enough time in this show. Nope.
Top selling games for the weekend in 26th of August 2018. That's where we are. Excuse me. Number 10, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 9, Far Cry 5. Number 8, PlayStation Hits Ratchet and Clank. Number 7, GTA 5. Number 6, Madden 19. Number 5, PlayStation Hits The Last of Us. Number 4, God of War. Number 3, PlayStation Hits Uncharted 4. That was number 4. Wait. 4 was God of War. 3 is PlayStation Hits Uncharted 4. 2 is Shenmue 1 and 2. And number 1 is FIFA 2018.
Detroit off
F1
that list.
F1 2018, I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Detroit dropped off that list. However, it is on sale this week. 45% off. So I think we'll see it back next week. And then it'll be gone again.
Yeah, probably. Shenmue's weird. It's just
it doesn't get into interest me at all.
No, and neither does F1. But hey, obviously interests enough people to get up there.
And it's nice to see the hits doing what they're supposed to.
Two quick bits of news: the PSN has started to roll out its revised game search function.
Yeah,
is it on yours?
I haven't checked. No,
because apparently it's not on everyone's. It's on mine. Fuck, it's so good, and it's so much quicker. Because basically you get your search keypad up and you start typing what you want, and then on the right it just comes up with not only the title, but like the disc image or the cover image of the game as well. So good. So much more responsive and quick. So it has been a hit, and it is getting rolled out to... it'll be everyone at some point, but it seems to be like block releases.
Yeah.
It's probably on your side. Right?
Very likely.
And the PlayStation hits for September 2018 on the Vita. You'll get Sparkle 2 and Foul Play. On the PS3, you'll get Another World Anniversary Edition and Cube Director's Cut. And PS4, you'll get Destiny 2 and God of War Remastered. And Destiny God of War 3 Remastered.
And Destiny 2 is available now.
Yeah, so they wanted to because the Forsaken DLC is out next week. So imagine they wanted to get people in, get them hooked. The first two expansions are on sale for both for $20 as well. So I know what you're doing, Bungie. Yeah.
No, it's smart. It's smart.
Yeah, it's business savvy.
Yeah, and God of War 3 Remastered is schmick. It's fantastic. I have a lot of love for that game. Yeah,
it's kind of surprising that you'd think they'd want, well, I would have thought they'd have like a meh PlayStation month because Spider-Man, they want everyone to go and play Spider-Man. Instead, they've gone pretty hard.
But maybe it's smart in that other vein of like, well, there are 80 million consoles in the wild, but what if people are waiting on Spider-Man and that's their deciding factor? And they're like, well, while you're here, or so it's maybe a little bit more of an enticement. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't know whether I should buy a PS4 for Spider-Man. Hey, but it has PS Plus and I can get fucking Destiny. You know, as in like, maybe there's people playing on Xbox.
Mm.
They're intrigued by Spider-Man. Mm. They don't want to make the jump. Well, I play Destiny over here. Could I can get too. For free over here.
Mm. You'll also get Here They Lie, a first-person VR horror game, will remain available through to October 2nd, and Knowledge is Power, the Playlink trivia game, will be available until November 6th.
Good little things there. That's actually quite an incredible month.
I'm kind of excited for the time when PS3 and Vita just disappear from this list.
Yeah.
There's just never anything worth talking about anymore, and I do hope they go PS4 and PSVR every month instead. Which I'm sure they'll do.
Well, now
by that time, because is it March next year?
Well, come October, that'll be 2 years since VR release.
Yeah.
So they've got a backlog there they can start chipping away.
And
I think
I'm pretty sure it's March 2019 that they shut down the Vita and PS3 PS Plus bonuses as well.
Mm.
So, well, I think they'll do that.
Yeah, no, like... Excuse me. Yeah. No, it's good. I'm impressed by it. It's happy for me because we were looking at Destiny for work. Sort of play, and then I'm like, oh, we're getting PS Plus anyway.
Do you have to pay for 4 PS Plus subs over there?
It will go into anyway, so because in order to play a lot of games online, you need PS Plus.
Yeah.
So we're going to buy it anyway. Worked out well.
You could only buy two, technically,
and do the cross share
with
whatever.
The primary console stuff.
Yeah,
like
I was going to look in with jerking that around, but
so you get like your account, like my account has PS Plus, and I make. On Alex's PlayStation, I make that my primary console, and then he gets all my games and my PS Plus shared to him, and then it doesn't stop me from playing anything on mine either. So you could go that way. I mean, it'll only save you, $140 in the year, I suppose.
True.
And it's a bit of dicking around, but it can be done.
I'll look into it.
But, Ryan, that's it for the news, as we have a chat to the players about the big old Cyberpunk 2077 gameplay. Reveal trailer.
Yeah, this week CD Projekt Red, or last week, released a 48-minute gameplay. Non-stop, front-to-back gameplay.
Big chunk.
With some mild narration in there, sort of telling you about the character that this particular gameplay is using and some of the systems in the world.
The narration was a bit lame.
It was very bland. Yeah. My wife was like, this guy's boring.
Just to make the action seem better by comparison.
Yeah.
So I want to preface this discussion by saying, now that I've seen this, other than what may be shown at E3, I'm done. I'm not looking.
You're out?
I'm out. I'm not reading anything else. I'm not looking
at
anything
else. Well,
you're
out in the sense you don't want any more info. Sold.
I'm already sold on it. I don't need to see any more. So other than what appears at E3, which there will be at E3, other than whatever that is, for the sake of doing the show, I've seen enough. I'm cool. I'm happy. That's it. No need more. So, 50 minutes is a pretty big slice. And it was a pretty hard sit for 50 minutes of it, even though I loved what I saw.
Mm.
But it really does... There was a very big encoded message in there from CDPR as well. I don't know if you saw that. No? Their thought process on... Did I put it in here? No, I didn't. Their thought process on, like, should we show it? Do we not? What are the benefits?
Well, that's a big given. Once again, with as mentioned earlier, the backlash of The Witcher, like, why would they make that? Why would they take that risk? Doesn't make sense.
I thought I had this beforehand.
I mean, like, why would they openly put the game out there to get some shit? You know what I mean? Like,
why? And they were umming and ahhing. But the biggest thing, I think, that is pushing them, like, this, we're going in the right direction, is the creator of Cyberpunk 2077, the book and the board game. He has publicly said, I am so incredibly happy. Like, this is everything I imagined this could be. So to have the creator of the source material being so openly
stoked
about everything must give you good feels.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Now, the message they put in was fucking huge.
Your laptop's about to make noise.
My what? It's muted now. Oh my god, they didn't even do it. Fuck these articles, man. Anyway, they were unsure. They're like, well, I don't know if we should do this. Because then it's also going to be when it comes out.
How many fucking different ads do want to come up?
It's Forbes. Because then they might have the Insomniac problem where it comes out and it's like, oh, you downscaled it, you fucking gamer culture. But I'm glad they did because it gives you a very... Because we never really had a definitive, like, what is it? Well, we know what it is, but what's inside it?
Well, there has been like two big hands-on gameplay showcases, one being at E3 and one being at Gamescom, and they were behind closed doors in every sense of the word. Yeah. No audio, like nothing was able to ever get out. You're only relying on what the media had seen or what they were relaying back to you. So to have them come out and then go, yeah, cool, here's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because like I know personally, I was, iffy's the wrong word, I was kind of like, okay, well, you're happy to show these guys and rely on their word of mouth, but why won't you show the masses?
Well, they just put it in your face, didn't they?
Well, they did. But I was curious. I was like, why would they not do that? I can't understand why, but I'm like, right now...
The thing is showing media behind closed doors, media is generally understanding it's an alpha build.
That is true.
Whereas that the masses aren't.
That part is unquestionable. Like, the media understands. But right now, especially on the back of the Mucin shit, there is a massive distrust for the games media.
Yeah.
There's distrust for media as a whole, and then more recently in games media.
Yeah.
And when everyone comes out praising the fuck out of it,
yeah, but this was all... Wasn't all that before the Mucin thing happened?
No, but the point still stands. That people would be like, "How? Why is everyone singing its praises? Because fucking good.
Yeah.
And the gameplay showed because it's fucking good.
If anything, they've gone the other way, where the initial review... You know the part in the gameplay where she walks out of this tunnel and there's just fucking people everywhere and there's like Cyberpunk? That same image was from like a year ago and there was like... 25% of those people in that first image. If anything, they've added more.
Yeah.
Like, they've gone even harder with it. So, I don't know how... I don't understand, from what we've seen, how this is not a next-gen game. I don't understand. With that many people walking around with, you know, that kind of fidelity, I don't understand how this could run anywhere near well enough on a PS4 in its current state.
Kind of think it's a next-gen.
It has to be. Or whatever we get on the PS4, Xbox One will be the... version, but the definitive version will be on next gen. I don't see how.
PC.
But I don't see how it can be just with what they're going for with this. I found.
Excuse me.
Initially, the gunplay, I was like, it looks okay.
There's no recoil. It's just.
But as it went on, and you start seeing how you can ricochet the bullets off the walls and go slow mo and like watch the bullets come past, I was like, oh.
Yes, yeah, okay. So that was the first thing I noticed as well was with the gunplay. It didn't seem heavy. Like, there was no.
You were just with the starting pistol.
Yeah, like, there was no recoil. Like, mind you, it's an automatic pistol, so it's like, it's just ripping out bullets, right? But there was no. It was very minor recoil, as in, like, if you held it and shot, it wouldn't move.
Yeah.
But, like, in most other games, if you did that, it would eventually dart off in some direction.
Destiny's good at that.
Destiny's great at that. So like, and then as you said, they showcase what can come from that. It's like,
like someone's hiding behind cover, you can do this ability where if you ricochet it off that wall, you'll get it behind. And I was like,
So what it looks like is, it looks like a lot of your skills come from these augmentations, which is, you know,
I like that.
So one thing I really, really got a kick out of is when in the gameplay demo, she went and got a eye enhancement, which allowed her to see how many bullets, like what would give you a HUD.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get that augmentation, you wouldn't have a HUD.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fucking fun. Like, you would have to guess, you would have to assume how much ammo you have.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
But I didn't even notice in the first part of the gameplay that there was no HUD.
Exactly.
And then when she put it on, I was like, oh, okay. And also the cool like hand grip for the gun she got as well, where it's like the gun won't shoot without like your whatever.
That has been done before in Metal Gear Solid 4. Yeah. The big thing about that game was nanomachines.
Yeah.
And there was nanomachines in yourself and the gun, and that gun would not fire unless it was in the hands of the person with that matching nanomachine. Like, you could pick up guns throughout your game, but you would have to go back to a merchant and pay to unlock them, in-game currency.
I've seen comparisons to games that I haven't played before. Like, people are like, it's taking what, like, your Metal Gear did.
And as Ben Baird mentioned in Facebook about Deus Ex.
Yeah, Deus Ex did. And, you know, obviously stuff from the Blade Runner franchise as well. And it's kind of doing its own thing with it. But I'd never played Metal Gear or Deus Ex. So. But when they got to the end of the gameplay, when it's like, we'll show you what a high-level character can do.
Yeah, there's the disparity between the two was really impressive.
Yeah, like, she gets a blade on her hand and can, like, scale walls.
Which we see in that figure that they...
Yeah.
And the promo art that they've released prior.
Yeah, I was like, oh boy, like, I'm just loving the perceived choice.
Mm.
It's like, do I want to be a stealthy character? Do I want to do melee? Do I want to have cool gun skills? Do I want to do a bit of both? Do I want to go in guns blazing? Do I want to take it slow? Do I want to negotiate my way out of it? Do I just want to fucking go in there and blow everyone up and take what I want? I'm loving how it's kind of going that way. And it does just seem to be the kind of game where it's like, I'm just going to live here for a few hundred hours now.
Mm. You know? The game is more appealing to me personally in terms of the time that I'm willing to invest than, say, The Witcher. Mm. Nothing there's wrong with The Witcher, but fantasy can wear thin on me really quick.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
I think that's why. Like, the fantasy genre is just so fucking packed.
It's dense.
You got Lords of War, The Elder Scrolls, the Shadow of War. So, like, fantasy, The Witcher, like, so much, but there's not a lot of high-profile cyberpunk stuff. You might not even like cyberpunk as a genre, you just might like the aesthetic.
Well, because cyberpunk, to me, has always been that fucking, like, steam-powered classes and shit.
But steampunk.
Oh, well, it's the same thing.
Cyberpunk is like your retro future, you got your neon lights and your augments and, you know, AI in your body and all that kind of stuff. Which I'm a big fan of. Like, I like that. I like that
if I stuff. Could get like a like a bionic colon, I'd be so happy.
I will poop when I decide I want.
Yeah, I'll replace it with a more
not
efficient
when my
pump.
Colon says I need.
Yeah, like, I'm super open to the idea of augments, like 100%.
But I did like how you got one though. How you see this like back alley doctor? You can go to.
They're legitimate.
You can
sources,
go to licensed surgeons to do this stuff for you. They'll be more expensive. They might be higher quality, but this guy in the back alley can give you shit that, you know, is illegal. You know, not supposed to be used. And the whole process of sitting in the chair, having a bit of dialogue with him as he's like, you know, getting the syringe ready and all that stuff. it seems so cool. And I love the games where I do like dialogue heavy games if the dialogue is interesting. And I did find the dialogue from what we saw interesting enough to be like, I could sit here and listen to it and not be like, yeah, okay, just shut the fuck up.
I found it fine, but I think for me it would come from more playing it from the start. Like, what they showed us was very early on in the game, allegedly, but me personally, I would want to see it from the start, and I want to make my character.
I like the ambulance that she called in. It's like, woo! Like, just flies down.
That was, to me, that felt very Fifth Element, which obviously Fifth Element's very inspired by, like, Blade Runner shit anyway, so, like, having the big floating car come in and then, like, fuck off, like, that reminded me of the film.
Speaking of cars, how good is that car?
Yeah, the gameplay demo didn't show it like hauling ass though, which I thought was cool.
Aesthetically.
Aesthetically, it's impressive.
I'm not a car person.
Yeah, me. It kind of looks like a souped up Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Like a souped up kit, sorry. But like, I would thought they were going to like unleash it and go to town on it, but then they kind of just scoot around the streets because it's a big, dense city.
Yeah,
I
but I'd imagine you can also upgrade the car with augments to fly, like nitro boots and all that kind of stuff too. I don't see why that wouldn't be a thing, because there are flying cars in it. So I think, yeah, what we saw is maybe the base car, but you can, if you choose, add to
once
it
again, why, like, why show all your cards straight up?
Yeah, exactly. And they're very, like, I don't even think what we saw is even half of what you can actually do in the game. It's just, here's all the big stuff you need to know, but there are so many more little things to kind of add to the scope of it overall.
Yeah, like, because truly looking at it, I none of it was groundbreaking to me. Like, I didn't leave going, I need this. I watched it going, cool, I dig it. I like where it's going. For me, my enjoyment, my appreciation of it will come when I play it.
Yeah, and I mean,
like, until then, like, my heart, once again, we've discussed in the past how we're, like, super cynical these days, and to me that was this. I was like, I'm like, yeah, it's cool, I like it, it doesn't seem the greatest thing I've ever seen, that, like, you know, it's not the coming of Christ, but it looks good.
Either was The Witcher 3 when it was coming up to release. It's like, that looks cool, but you look at the impact it's had since then on that third-person fantasy genre, nothing compares. Nothing compares to the scope or the depth of The Witcher. Mm. You can still like Skyrim and Fallout and all that, but nothing compares to the precedent that The Witcher set.
Yeah,
for that kind of a game.
And for that reason is why I'm not, like, normally I'd be like, but because I know what The Witcher can be, and I know what The Witcher was and what Cyberpunk can do.
Yeah.
Not Cyberpunk. What CD Projekt Red can do. That reason is why I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and I think it'll be a similar thing where leading up to it, you're like, looks good. Like, I'm going to buy it and play it because it looks good. But in the years after, you'll see the ripples of, like, they set the precedent. It's like, you get it, you play, you go, oh, shit. Like, in a year's retrospective, you're like, that was fucking incredible. And then other game devs doing similar stuff in the future have to compare it. Like, what are we doing that's different to that? How does it stack up to Cyberpunk? Which I'm sure fantasy game developers are doing now, looking at games like The Witcher, going, like, what we're doing is cool, but Witcher came out like 4 years ago, and it's has a whole lot more than what we're
offering. Well, ideally, Bethesda is probably the biggest one.
I hope so.
You know, we hope that they look, because when they released Fallout, they it was very. This is not a brand new, like, a hot take or opinion or anything. When they released Fallout, everyone was like subpar on it simply because The Witcher was so fucking bonkers. And
have you been looking at what's been going on while you're developing? Have you looked at the gaming landscape as you're developing Fallout and adjusting accordingly? Clearly not.
But, like, that's like that's an engine problem, which is slightly different. But I think a lot of people will need to. I think Fallout as a franchise will need to look at Cyberpunk as well.
Yeah.
Keeping in that same line as Bethesda, especially for that aesthetic, and just the way the first person feels. Like, Fallout has always been good. I've always loved Fallout. Don't get me wrong.
I like the opinion that VATS is there to make up for shitty first person shooting.
Without doubt, because VATS was very important when it was a 2D, 2.5D like Diablo esque game, and when they moved into, like, that was the way around it. So they're going to need to improve that. Now, Cyberpunk, I think, may need to improve their gunplay from what I saw, but that could be all part of, once again, that was so early on in the game, it probably gets better.
Yeah, just with your augments and stuff. It seems like the initial gunplay is very, very basic and bland. But as you get through and you start doing cool shit with your skills and all that, it seems to be it'll really open up. I don't know. I think Bethesda, when developing Fallout 5, should get some guys from id Software over.
Yeah.
And just be like, looking at Rage, up the first person shooting a little
bit. Yeah, looking at Rage, looking at...
It helps out with Rage's shooting mechanics, didn't it?
Well, so Rage is being...
It's not co-developed.
No, it's primarily developed by Avalanche, who are doing Mad Max. But because id did the first Rage, they're on like a consulting capacity and bringing in their exceptional first person shooting,
like what
systems
they did with Doom. And I think Fallout would benefit from having id there to tighten
fuck
up
yeah,
the
it
gameplay
would.
As
fuck
well.
Yeah, it fuck would.
Fuck yeah, they would. But Cyberpunk, just to kind of close it off, it is a Josh game. Like, I love these heavy narratives. I love Cyberpunk as a genre. I love these futuristic worlds. Like, it all comes together just to be like, this is a game made for me. And I'm still trying to temper my hype for it because I've been burned so many times before. But I trust CD Projekt Red. And yeah, it's obviously... I'll get the collector's edition. That'll probably be the next game.
I will likely get it too. Because I think it's one of those ones like... Even though I'm pretty stoked on The Last of Us, I'm probably going to buy collectors for The Last of Us 2. Like, it just seems like I regret not buying it originally.
You haven't even finished the fucking
game.
No,
but as in, like, I love that statue. The Joel and Ellie statue is just schmick, and I want it.
Yeah.
I want it. And that's, like, so expensive.
Yeah.
And, like, I imagine Cyberpunk, like, once I play it, I'd be like, I wish I bought that. Yeah. So I'm going to preemptively just get on it. Same as The Last of Us 2, I'm just going to preemptively get on it.
Yeah. I haven't got it collected since Uncharted 4.
Yeah,
so
that was God of War, which is a brand
statue. Last of Us 2 may be one I get as well, maybe. But yeah, like, I got nothing more to say about Cyberpunk. It's a me game.
Yeah, so we did ask the community, we got a couple of responses. As we mentioned, Ben Baird did say, just wanted to point out how much the demo seemed to be very similar to Deus Ex. As someone that hasn't played a lot of Deus Ex, I can certainly see that with the augments, with the main character, Jacob? Jacob. You know, he's like, the entire game is based around him getting augments.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Vivian, a new member of the Popsy community. Hey, doorman.
Cool.
Said, I never knew I needed the game so badly.
Mm. I'm trying not to fall down the high hole, but mm. it is very hard for me with this game.
And Paris jumped in and said, I want to know why it is not out yet. Which...
CDAPR are famous saying it'll be out when it's fucking... It'll be out when it's done.
Has me asking the question, Josh. When do you think this game will drop?
2020.
Yep.
I'm predicting next gen in 2020. I think we agreed on that last week, did we?
Yeah, no, we did.
About 2020?
Yeah.
Like late 2020, quarter three, quarter four.
Yeah.
That's right,
we did. We thought announcement in March, coming out later in the year. Yeah.
I think I would love that for it to be late 2020 and then for them to go to E3 2020 and be like, and it's out in like 3 months.
Yeah.
Like they won't. I'm sure we'll know a lot early before that. But I really like when Bethesda do it, when it's like, and the game's out in a couple months. And
yeah.
You're like, whoa.
Optimistically, I think holiday season next year.
Ooh. Ooh.
Optimistically.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like you know, October, November next year.
I mean, it is playable from start to
it
end.
It is playable from start to finish. And the same thing is like that, this would be the third year we've talked about it.
Well, it was originally announced in 2012.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and then it comes in 2019. And like, an 8-year dev cycle isn't unknown.
No. But they also were doing The Witcher.
Yeah.
So Cyberpunk 2077 was announced when The Witcher 2 had just come out. And at that point, CDPR were a flash in the pan. They weren't, you know, as heavily recognised as they are now. And then, you know, The Witcher 2 did really, really well. So they obviously put Cyberpunk on hold to do The Witcher 3,
mm-hmm.
which catapulted them into, yeah. we can do whatever the fuck we want.
But even if they've only, like, even if it does come out in 2020 and they've only worked on it 4 of the 8 years that it's been in, like, that's still a long time for it to be in the,
oh, yeah.
in the ether. So that's why I think towards the end of next year. However, if it does happen to be a next-gen platform, on the next-gen platform.
It will be on the next-gen platform, I guarantee.
Yeah.
The Last of Us did the same thing,
yeah.
released at the end of the life cycle of the PS3, and then a few months later, after the PS4's launch, here's a PS4.
I think that, like, if it does happen to not release on the next-gen, I think that will do exactly that.
Because they did initially say it will be on Xbox One and PS4.
Yeah.
Now whether they decide to go actually or they stick to it and be like, yeah, it is, but the proper version will be on PS5.
But for all we know, the PS5 may drop next year.
True.
For all we know.
Mm.
Like, come March, they may announce and then it's out in November.
Because you know that companies like all the big ones, Bethesda, Activision, Bungie, CDPR, they know when the next gen consoles are coming out.
Yeah, they've probably been specing them already.
Yeah, they have to know.
Anyone that's released a game either this year or last year, they know that the next gen's around the corner, and they will have a draft of what
they know the rough specs that they can be working.
Because if they're developing a new game, they need to know what those new consoles are.
Especially all the studios Microsoft just picked up as well.
Yeah,
because they won't have anything out until the next generation.
Yeah, so they'll know what they'll like to know what the next Xbox is going to be. I imagine all the first party PlayStation studios will have an idea what PS5 is going to be.
And all your big third parties will know as well.
Or they'd have a rough idea.
Yeah,
or a very close rough idea.
Yeah.
So you want to put that in the sand? I say October, November next year, and you say 2020.
I say a year after that.
So the Christmas 2020.
Towards the end of 20, after the midpoint, quarter three.
Let's lay that bet down.
Quarter three.
Even though there's a year between our bets, and that part scares me.
Yeah. we'll know the winner pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because
if it's not me, it's you. Yeah.
Also, anyone listening can chuck theirs in as well.
Of course, yeah. So if you are on, while we run through the drop, if some of our Patreon viewers, if you want to chuck in your predictions for Cyberpunk 2077 in that chat, we'll jump over here. And so, as I said, 2077's coming probably in 2077. Yeah. So we're going to go through the games that are coming out this week on your PlayStation device in a section we call Coming to the Players. Fuck, what's going on? That's my brain. Coming to the Players, we pretty much just straight up read the drop.
New PlayStation games for the week for the 4th of September 2018. It's almost time, true believers. Marvel Spider-Man launches next Friday exclusively on the PS4. Swing Through the Skies of an Insomniac's amazing recreation of Marvel's New York City to fight crime, spar with legendary villains, or just take some selfies with the fans. Oh, and don't forget to share your Daily Bugle worthy photo mode shots. Make
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, I always get mixed up. Proud with more pictures of Spider-Man. And then we get into the actual drop. Paul says week of November 13th, 2018 for Cyberpunk. Oh, man.
Because that's what we need. More shit in that week.
20,200.
And Damo jumps in. He says, I call mid 2020 just so Josh can't win by default.
Default. All right, the games. 4/28, Shibuya Scramble, PS4 digital and retail. I never kind of get games that have real people on the cover.
Yeah, it's jarring.
I mean, it's weird. Apocalypse Rider, PSVR digital.
Nah.
Arcade Islands, Volume 1. Many more volumes to come, PS4 digital. Destiny 2 Forsaken, PS4 digital and retail. Dimension Drive, PS4 digital. Dragon Quest 9, Echoes of an Elusive Age. 11. Why did I say 9? PS4 digital and retail.
Damn Roman numerals.
Full Blast, PS4, PS Vita digital crossbuy. Immortal Unchained, PS4 digital. Marvel Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I don't know. Why doesn't it say digital there when it's retail as well?
I don't know.
Moonfall Ultimate, PS4 digital. NASCAR Heat 3, PS4 digital and retail. NBA Live 19, the one edition. It's that one edition. PS4 digital. Ninjin, Clash of Carrots, PS4 digital. Planet Alpha, PS4 digital. Shadows Awakening, PS4 digital and retail. Siggy, A Fart for Melusina.
What?
PS4, PS Vita. Join Knight Siggy as he runs, jumps, and battles in a flatulent quest to save Melusina, the love of his life. Take down hordes of goofy enemies and crazy bosses and make your way to the top of Mount Stinkup. You kind of want it, don't you?
Yep.
It's on the Vita. I'm watching it. SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy, PS4 digital. Zone of Enders, The Second Runner. Mars. That's what we like to say. PSVR.
Digital. The VR Zone of the Enders game. Mm. Dude, awesome.
Zone of the Enders, Second Runner, Mars Remastered in 4K and full VR. Enter Orbital Frames, Jehuti's Cockpit, and fly through Martian skies.
One of Kojima's firsts.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
So yeah, Spider-Man. And obviously. Farts. And what was the fart game called again? Where are we?
Siggy,
A Fart for Melusina.
Yeah.
I don't check that.
No, the big one, Spider-Man.
If it's under $15, I'll probably get it.
The big one is Spider-Man. And yeah. Depending on when and if we get a code, when we'll be able to talk about
it. We may talk about it next week, next FTP. We may not.
Well, next FTP is next Saturday, so we'll likely be... I'll be picking up Friday if we don't get a code, and I'll be playing it mostly Friday night, and then I'll be here to talk about it on Saturday. Mm. I will be on Review Culture on Wednesday with Dash and Buddy. Because Dash has received a copy, and so he'll be talking about Spider-Man. Hopefully I've played it since then. I can talk about it Wednesday. And Buddy also spent some time with Spider-Man. He came down to Melbourne to play a bunch of games with his new job.
Nice.
So he spent time with it. So I'm going to be the one there without my hands on it. So don't make me look like an idiot. Thanks, PlayStation.
We've been doing this for a while.
Ryan is now sold on the game because farts, says Damo. Yeah.
I mean, how many episodes do we need to do to get a bit of fucking respect?
69 apparently.
That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to watch us record this live, just like these wonderful people on that screen to my left, to your right, you can join us at Patreon on any tier, and you get the exclusive live link to watch us record for the players on a Saturday morning. And of course, if you want to show your love for pop culture on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like this, or phone covers like this.
Nice.
Head to popculturist.com/shop and buy some good things with our logo smacked on them. And like any good YouTube channel or whatever, we also are on Twitch at twitch.tv/popculturist, where we stream pretty much all our games now. Twitch.tv/popculturist. You can give us biddies, you can give us the likes and the follows and the subscribes and all the other things you do there. But until next week, I am Ryan Betson.
I am Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.
I forgot my surname.
I...